Anxiety. It's the abnormal apprehension that occurs in our minds as we anticipate those fearful things that we imagine might happen. Anxiety is the overwhelming sense of fear that physically manifests in our bodies as our hearts begin to race, our muscles begin to tense, and our pores profusely sweat from the physical stress. And while I have no doubt that we all experience anxiety from time to time, I also realize that we find ourselves right now in the middle of a pandemic, which is causing us to experience increasing levels of anxiety. And according to the director of clinical research and quality at the American Psychological Association, she says this: we are seeing increasing levels of anxiety over a relatively short period of time. One reason why? Well, it's due to the fact that we've been forced to face a new strain of this coronavirus, which is highly contagious. And not only is COVID-19 highly contagious, but we're also filled with fear over the fact that we don't yet have vaccines or medications, and people don't actually show symptoms for a week or two. And therefore, our fear of this pandemic, well, it's causing many Christians to arrive at new levels of anxiety, levels that we've never experienced before. While it's true that this anxiety is partially because of our fear of the unknown, another reason for our increased anxieties, well, is due to the fact that we're all online, and we're all listening to every sensational story that we can find. We're absorbing media unlike ever before. And you better believe that this overload of information, it's causing Christians to become anxious believers. This anxiety affected me a little bit this past week as I began to experience a few of the COVID-19 symptoms which are described online. You know, my throat was getting a little scratchy and my energy levels were beginning to drop, and I felt like I was kind of getting a little sick, and then I began to wonder if I was actually showing signs of the coronavirus, and my heart began to race faster, and as a result I began to kind of heat up a little bit. I began to sweat, and I'm thinking, oh no, is this the fever? Is this the fever? Am I getting the fever? And my mind began to race. And before I allowed my mind to continue down this path towards panic attack, I stopped and I simply sought the Lord in prayer. And at that point in time, the peace of the Lord began to soothe my soul. And it was in that peace, that place of peace, when I began to realize that, you know, I was simply suffering from the allergies that I always struggle with at this time of year. It's so easy for us, though, to allow a little thing like a scratchy throat to send us over the edge. And all of a sudden it's like, this has got to be the coronavirus. This is it. I'm going down. The chances are many of us have experienced similar fears this week as we've wondered if we've been infected with the novel coronavirus. And knowing that we're all struggling with new levels of anxiety, I want to take some time to provide you with some tools which will help us to gain the victory over our anxieties. As we study these scriptures before us today, we're going to begin to see, first of all, that we can gain the victory over anxiety through thankful supplication. Secondly, we'll gain the victory over anxiety through thoughtful meditation. Thirdly and finally, we'll see that we gain victory over anxiety through trustful devotion. And with this as the outline, let's open our Bibles now to Philippians chapter 4. Here we find Paul. He's helping the Christians there in Philippi to overcome their anxieties. Now, as you make your way to the fourth chapter of Philippians, I want to take a moment to point out that many of us are struggling with the mental anxiety as we cope with this coronavirus pandemic. We're anxious about our health, and we're anxious about the health of our family, and we're anxious about our income, and we're anxious about the economy. And then there are those who are caught up in this catch-22 as they grow more and more anxious about their anxieties. We're anxious about our anxieties. If this sounds like your life, then I encourage you to embrace the challenge that Paul presents to the Christians at the church in Philippi. If you would look with me here at Philippians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading there at verse 6. Here Paul declares, "Be anxious for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. And not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, here in our text today, we find Paul, he's addressing the anxiety that was affecting the Christians at the church there in Philippi. It'll help us to know that Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi during the days of his imprisonment. It was around 62 AD when Paul sent this letter to encourage the Philippian Christians whose hearts were beginning to fill with fearful anxieties about the persecutions which were affecting the church. And while it's true that the threat that they were facing was a very real threat, it's also true that there was no reason for them to be anxious about their situation. With this as the focus, I want to back up and look again here at Philippians chapter 4. Let's begin again reading there at verse 6. Here again, Paul declares, "Be anxious for nothing." Now, it should be noted that Paul didn't say that anxiety is good sometimes. He didn't say that anxiety is good for some things. No, instead, he directed the disciples of Christ to be anxious for nothing. In other words, Christians should be anxious for nothing or no things. There are no things that we ought to be anxious about. Or we might restate Paul's command in this way. There isn't one thing that the Christian should suffer anxiety over. And the reason why? Well, one reason why is due to the fact that anxiety won't solve anything. It just makes things worse. Anxiety will solve nothing. For the sake of clarity, it'll help you to know that the word anxious, which is found there in verse 6, it's translated from a Greek word which was used of those who are troubled with cares. Troubled with cares. It's also interesting to note that anxiety is your body's natural response to stress, and not only that, but anxiety is also the apprehensive fear we feel whenever we spend our time worrying about what might come. Well, it's only natural for us to experience anxious thoughts. After receiving troublesome news, it's crucial for every Christian to learn how to cope with the cares that begin to trouble our minds. Now, with this as our goal, let's consider the solution that Paul presents here in Philippians chapter 4. If you would look with me once again there at verse 6, because here again Paul declares, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication." Be anxious for no things, but rather in everything, pray. Paul, he's redirecting the attention of the Christian who feels anxious, and rather than allowing our anxieties to control our focus, Paul redirects our attention. And he does this by encouraging every believer to spend time engaging in the spiritual discipline of prayer. Just to be clear, prayer is the way we communicate with God. Therefore, if you want to overcome your anxieties, spend more time in prayer. According to Paul, our prayer time ought to include the petitions that Paul here calls supplications. Supplications are the prayerful petitions that we present to the Lord as we ask Him to help us in our time of need. And while I'm sure that we all realize that the Lord isn't obligated to give us everything that we ask for, this shouldn't stop us from spending time in prayer as we seek the gracious help of our Lord and Savior. I like the way that Paul put it in Hebrews chapter 4. It's there where he declares, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." We ought to come boldly to the throne of grace, prayerfully, and present our supplications to the Lord, knowing that He is here to help us in our time of need. We should also notice that the Christian who wants to overcome their anxieties, well, we ought to offer prayerful supplications with thanksgiving. That word thanksgiving, well, it speaks of the grateful language of those whose hearts are filled with gratitude. As we pray, we ought to have a thankful heart that's filled with gratitude. In this context, thankfulness is an act of worship, which is offered by those who are filled with feelings of appreciation. And as we prayerfully express our appreciation to the Lord for all the wonderful things that He's done for us, the fearful anxieties that will fill our minds are replaced by those feelings of appreciation. Anxieties can be replaced by appreciation if we would simply pray with thanksgiving. Those feelings of appreciation, well, they end up bringing peace of mind as we spend time prayerfully remembering the goodness of God in all the ways that He's already blessed us. I want to consider how Paul put it here in Philippians chapter 4. If you would look with me again there at verse 6. Here again, Paul declares, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, here in these verses, we find Paul, he's describing the peace that fills the minds of those who spend time prayerfully presenting their supplications to the Lord with thanksgiving. And it should be noted here that the word peace, found there in verse 7, well, in this context, that word refers to the tranquil state of the believer who is resting in the assurance of their salvation. According to Paul, the anxious Christian who will simply spend time in prayer with thanksgiving will begin to enjoy the tranquil state of peace as the Lord helps us to overcome our anxieties. Conversely, the Christian who continues to focus on all of their fears, well, they tend to allow their anxieties to overwhelm them. Rather than enjoying the peace that surpasses all understanding, these anxious believers begin to experience different sorts of disorders. As a matter of fact, there are some who have allowed their anxieties to become full-blown panic attacks. Others have allowed their anxieties to become an overwhelming fear of rejection. Some worrisome believers, they've become paralyzed by all of their anxieties. Maybe it's the fear of sickness, or maybe it's the fear of the future, and whatever the fear is, they just end up being paralyzed with that fear. Others have allowed their anxieties to become an obsessive compulsive disorder. It's possible that you're a person who, typically has a handle on your anxieties. Maybe you're not one of these who suffers from these sorts of disorders that spring up in the hearts and minds of those who entertain all of their anxieties. And maybe you're that believer who's like, I rarely struggle with anxieties. And under normal conditions, you might not struggle with anxieties at all. Unfortunately, we don't find ourselves in normal conditions. These aren't normal times. And knowing that this COVID-19 pandemic has impacted every life in many different ways, it's not unusual for Christians who don't struggle with anxiety all of a sudden find themselves having panic attacks. And in light of these unusual circumstances, it's possible that your mind is racing with anxious thoughts and your heart is filled with fears about the future. And if so, I encourage you, let's gain the victory over anxiety. And we can do that by simply spending time praying with thankful supplications. And not only will we gain the victory over anxiety through thankful supplications, but we also gain the victory over anxiety through thoughtful meditations. Now, with this second point in mind, let's continue to make our way through Philippians chapter 4. If you would, let's pick up our study again. I want to begin reading at verse 8. Here again, Paul declares, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, in order to grasp the point that Paul was making, It's important for us to understand the meaning of that word, meditate. The reason why is due to the fact that many of us have been led to believe that meditation is an attempt to empty the mind. That's what we've been taught to believe through television and through movies, that meditation is an emptying of the mind. I'm sure we've all seen those movies where the hero must go spend time meditating, you know, and they need to meditate in order to acquire the special power they need to beat the bad guy. And oftentimes the meditative state, it includes some sort of mantra that they repeat over and over again as the protagonist attempts to empty their mind, and maybe they have to go sit under a waterfall or something like that. Listen, Paul wasn't encouraging us to meditate by emptying the mind. He wasn't encouraging us to chant some mantra while sitting in lotus position under a waterfall. No. Instead, he was encouraging every believer to focus the mind through thoughtful meditation. As a matter of fact, it's important to understand that the word meditate, found there at the end of verse 8, it's actually translated from a Greek word which was used in reference to those who spend time gathering information. You're not emptying information, you're gathering information so that the meditative person can think reasonably. That word meditate means to consider or to take something into account. It was also used of those who weigh the options and determine logical decisions. Therefore, the person who wants to gain the victory over their anxieties, they ought to take some time to meditate, focusing the mind so that we can set aside emotional fears which might cause us to become anxious. Now, with this as the goal, I want to take some time to consider the things that Paul is suggesting we meditate upon. The first thing that Paul lists is found there in the beginning of verse 8. Here again, he declares, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, meditate on these things. Whatever things are true, if it's true, we ought to be meditating on it. That word true was used to describe those who love the truth, and it was also used of those who speak the truth in love. And not only that, but the original Greek word is the original Greek word in this text, it's actually the root word of the word that Jesus used in John chapter 14, where he declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so if you want to know the truth, it's important to know Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the truth. And in light of this, it's important to understand that we can gain victory over anxiety by focusing on Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. Sadly, there are many Christians who focus their attention on their fearful fantasies. Rather than focusing on Jesus, rather than focusing on the truth of God's word, they instead create worst case scenarios in your mind. Maybe you're guilty of doing this. You get this idea and you begin to entertain the idea and you're thinking about this fearful thing and what might come. And next thing you know, you've got this whole fantasy world happening in your mind of all the worst things that could potentially happen. These people typically allow these worst case scenarios to fill their hearts with fear until they suffer a panic attack. And if this sounds like something that you struggle with, then I encourage you to stop centering your mind on fearful fantasies and instead meditate on the truth. Meditate on Jesus. Meditate on God's word. And then we'll be able to rest in the peace that surpasses all understanding. Not only should we meditate on those things that are true, but we should also meditate on those things that are noble. As a matter of fact, look with me again there at verse 8. Here again, Paul declares, finally, brethren, whatever things are true and whatever things are noble, meditate on these things. That word noble was translated from a Greek word which was used of that which is honorable. Noble thoughts are venerable thoughts. Noble thoughts are reverent thoughts. Noble thoughts are morally excellent and intellectually honest thoughts. Christian, listen. Those who spend time thinking of things that are immoral and dishonest, these people will end up struggling with anxiety. Therefore, if you want to experience victory over anxiety, then let's stop thinking about immoral things. Let's stop thinking about dishonest things. And let's make sure that we're meditating upon those things that are morally excellent and intellectually honest. Not only that, but Paul also encouraged every believer to meditate on those things that are just. That word just found there in the middle of verse 8. Well, it's translated from a Greek word which was used of him whose way of thinking and feeling and acting is completely conformed to the will of God. The same Greek word could also be rendered righteous or even upright. And what this means then is that the Christian who wants to overcome their anxieties ought to spend time meditating on those things that are acceptable to God. We should also notice that Paul encouraged his audience to meditate on those things that are pure. Notice he didn't say meditate on those things that are purelled. No, he didn't say that. He's not talking about purell. He's talking about those things that are pure. He challenged us to focus our thoughts on those things that are pure. And while I'm happy that we finally live in a country that is finally purifying their hands, I've been saying it for years, we ought to be washing our hands, and that's very important. But listen, those who want to gain the victory over anxieties, we don't need to just purell our hands. We need to purell our minds. And we need to make sure that our minds are purified through the Word of God. The best way to do this is by taking every thought captive unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. In this way, we can discipline our minds to meditate on those things that are pure. Furthermore, Paul also instructed every believer to meditate on those things that are lovely. That word lovely was translated from a Greek word which was used of those things that are pleasing. Christian, listen, if you struggle with anxiety, then the chances are your thoughts aren't centered on things that are pleasing. Pleasing thoughts don't make us anxious. Therefore, rather than focusing on all of our fearful fantasies that we create and within our own minds, let's instead focus on those thoughts that are pleasing, especially those thoughts that are pleasing to the Lord. Not only that, but let's also focus on those things that are of good report. Let's consider again how Paul put it there in Philippians chapter 4. If you would look with me again there at verse 8, here Paul declared, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report." Now, as we consider this encouragement, I can't help but to wonder how much of our attention is dedicated to bad news. How much time do we spend taking into our minds things that are of a bad report? According to one expert, 90% of the news that we watch is negative. 90% of the news we watch is a bad report. Therefore, we shouldn't be surprised to learn that 80% of our thoughts are also negative. If 90% of what we're taking in is of a bad report, it's no wonder why 80% of our thoughts are so negative. Is it any wonder then why so many of us are struggling with anxiety? In order to reverse this issue, we must make a conscious effort to look for those things that are of a good report. Maybe we ought to stop spending so much time looking for bad news, and instead let's take some time to study the good news that's found in the Scriptures. Not only that, but Paul also encouraged every Christian to meditate on those things that are virtuous. That word virtue, well, it speaks of moral excellence. It also speaks of personal purity. Paul was directing the disciples of Christ to meditate their minds on thoughts that are morally excellent and perfectly pure. The next time you find yourself filled with anxiety, stop and ask yourself, am I focused on fearful fantasies, or am I thinking about things that are virtuous? Finally, Paul reminded his readers that those who want to gain the victory over anxiety should meditate on things that are praiseworthy. That word praiseworthy, well, it's translated from a Greek word which was used of those things that are commendable. As we consider Paul's encouragement, we should take a moment to ask, how much time do I spend worrying about those things that aren't praiseworthy? How much attention do I give to those things that fill my heart with fear? Christian, listen, if you want to overcome your anxieties, then it's important to meditate on those things that are worthy of praise. In order to prove my point, let's take another look at this text. If you will, let's back up and begin again at verse 8. Here again, Paul declares, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do." And notice, the God of peace will be with you. Here in these verses, we find Paul, he's helping the Christians there in Philippi to grasp the connection between our focus and our peace of mind. The believer who wants to experience the peace of mind that the God of peace has promised to provide us, well, we must first make sure that we're engaging in proper meditation. Rather than spending all of our time focusing on those things that cause us to just imagine every fearful scenario, let's instead meditate on those things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and on those things that are of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. I like the way that Paul summed all of this up in Colossians chapter 3. It's in verses 1 through 4 where Paul declared this. He says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." In other words, the believer who wants to make sure that they're meditating on all of the right things, we should simply ask ourselves, am I setting my mind on things above? Am I focusing my mind on Jesus Christ? Or am I still allowing the worries of this world to fix my focus on every fearful fantasy that I can imagine? If so, then I encourage you to remember that the Christian who will fix their focus on Jesus is the Christian who will overcome their anxiety. And the reason why? Well, it's due to the fact that those who meditate on the Messiah will experience the peace of God. So we see then that we gain the victory over anxiety through thankful supplication. Not only that, but we also gain the victory over anxiety through thoughtful meditation. Thirdly and finally, it's important for us to realize that we gain the victory over anxiety through trustful devotion. And with this as the focus, let's continue to make our way through our text here in Philippians chapter 4. I want to pick up our study, beginning there at verse 10. Here Paul goes on to declare this. He says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, here again, I just want to remind you that Paul is writing this epistle from prison. He's imprisoned as he's writing this epistle. And there in verse 10, this man seated in prison says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." Here's a guy sitting in prison rejoicing in the Lord. He's walking in the victory of Jesus Christ, though he's in chains. And Paul here is helping his audience to remember that Christ Jesus is the one who is able to strengthen us so that we can endure every trial and every trouble, even seated in prison. This also includes the trials and the troubles surrounding this COVID-19 pandemic. It's possible that you feel like you're in prison. You're sitting there at home and you're engaging in social distancing. You're sitting there at home wondering, when can I leave? When can I get out of here? And you feel like you're in prison and you feel like you're going crazy. And I just remind you, the Lord can strengthen you. And the Lord can give you the strength that you need to endure. It's possible that your heart is filled with fear as you consider how this virus might impact the health of your family, or maybe your mind is agitated with anxiety over the economic concerns that we're all sharing right now. And whatever the reason for the fear, I'm here to tell you we can overcome our anxiety with a trustful devotion to the Lord. For the sake of clarity, it'll help you to know that the word trustful, it simply means full of trust. The trustful Christian is the believer who fully trusts in the Lord despite the circumstances that we currently find ourselves in. This was the sort of trust that Job demonstrated on the day when he discovered that he had just lost a lot of his family and some of his friends and a great deal of his livestock. But rather than allowing his circumstances to become for him mental anxiety, Job revealed his trust in the Lord. He revealed that he was full of trust in the Lord. And he did this by declaring this. He says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It's possible that you've watched your savings. Maybe you've watched your finances just disappearing before your very eyes as our economy begins to tank. And maybe you're just filled with anxiety over this. And I just remind you of these words of Job, that Job rejoiced in the Lord. He even worshiped God and said, "The Lord gave it, and the Lord can take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Just like Job, Paul also learned how to trust in the Lord despite the circumstances. And in order to prove my point, let's look again there at Philippians chapter 4. I want to draw your attention once again to verse 11. Here Paul declares, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Now that word content, it's translated from a Greek word which was used of those who are satisfied with what they have. Just to be clear, we must not fail to grasp the contrast between the content Christian and the covetous Christian. The covetous Christian is always filled with anxiety because they're never satisfied with what they have. They're constantly clamoring for more. They're constantly coveting for more. And in this, they're filled with anxiety. In contrast to this, the content Christian is rarely anxious, and the reason why is because they realize that the Lord is going to always provide for them. The Lord is always going to provide us with everything that we need, so they learn how to just be content in whatever the situation. I like the way that Paul put it in Hebrews chapter 13. There he declares, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" In other words, the covetous Christian is failing to be content. And in contrast to this, the content Christian is no longer covetous. And while it's true that the covetous Christian is filled with anxiety as they clamor for the things that they covet, the content Christian is able to overcome anxiety as we learn how to be content by simply fully trusting in the Lord. Rather than allowing our covetous desires to become anxious thoughts that eventually turn into panic attacks, let's instead learn how to be content Christians by fully trusting in the one who declared, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." With this as the goal, I want to consider Paul's example of this, which is found here in Philippians chapter 4. If you would look with me once again at verse 12, here again Paul declares, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And just as we consider what Paul is saying here, we see that he's describing the way that he had learned how to be content with every situation, even in chains there in prison. He was content when his belly was full of food, and he was content when he was suffering hunger pains. And what this also means, it's that he didn't allow his hunger pains to become anxious thoughts that spiraled into panic attacks. No, instead, he simply learned how to be content with every situation as he walked by faith in the Lord. In light of his example, I just think that we ought to examine our own lives by asking a very important question, and the question is this: am I able to trust in the Lord even if the pantry is empty? Am I able to trust in the Lord even when there's no food on the shelf? With this question in mind, I want to take a moment to consider the way that the novel coronavirus pandemic quickly resulted in the widespread panic as people set out to stockpile toilet paper for the next 10 years. These anxious shoppers ended up creating even more fear, as the fearful hoarding created the appearance of limited resources, which then caused people to go and exhaust the supply chain as suppliers attempted to keep up with the anxiety-driven demands. And it's sad to say that the fires of all this fear have been fueled by the liberal media, who's loving the increase in ratings. All of these liberal media news shows, their ratings were tanking until this pandemic came along, and all of a sudden they found a reason, a way to get our attention. And America just bought it, hook, line, and sinker. I'm not saying there's nothing to be concerned about. I'm just saying that we're rushing to this media who's loving the attention, and they're stoking the fires of our fears. And with that being the case, I can't help but to wonder how much of the church ended up getting caught up in this feeding frenzy. Now, don't get me wrong, because I don't mean to suggest that we shouldn't go out and buy the groceries that our family needs. Of course we should. At the same time, though, I encourage every Christian to take a moment just to ask and examine their own life. We have to examine our own life by asking, are my decisions being driven by the fearful anxieties that come from a covetous desire for more, or am I willing to learn how to be content right now? Am I willing to just fully trust in the one who promised to provide us with daily bread? Christian, listen, this isn't the time for the church to follow the anxious herds over the edge of the cliff. This is the time for us to become trustful believers who are walking in the strength of our Savior. Those Christians who are able to be content and say, I know the Lord will never leave us, nor will he forsake us, and he will help us through this time. I want to consider again how Paul puts it here in Philippians chapter 4. If you would look with me again, beginning at verse 11, here Paul declares, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we see here that this verse has nothing to do with athletics. I mean, there's so many athletes out there who love to quote this verse, and I think it's a wonderful thing, and there's nothing wrong with it. But listen, in the context, what we're talking about is the Lord strengthening us to make it through tough trials. And Paul here is assuring the hearts of his audience by helping them to understand that the Lord Jesus, he is able to strengthen us so that we can learn how to be content even when our stomach is empty. If you're anxiously afraid because you don't know how your family is going to make it through this pandemic, I encourage you to remember that those who fully trust in the Lord and devote their lives to him, we will stand in the strength of our Savior as we learn how to be content no matter the situation. In contrast to this, the Christian who is trusting in their own ability to provide for and to protect their family will soon find themselves filled with fearful anxieties as they quickly realize that we don't have the ability to control our environment in the way that we wish we could. You know, we try to control our environment. We try to keep the coronavirus out of our house, and yet we got to bring in food. Where does the food come from? Well, we got to bring it from the grocery store, and we got to go into the grocery store. Okay, well, I'll just have them shop for me. I'll hire the people. They'll do the shopping. They'll put it in a bag and then bring it out to my car. And yet those people, you know, might have it. And the people who stock the shelves, they might have it. And who knows? And we can just be so fearful over all of this, and we quickly realize that we don't really have control. And if this is freaking you out, I encourage you, allow your Savior to strengthen you. Become a trustful believer who says, I know the one who's in control. I can't control everything, but I know the one who is in control. It's crucial for every Christian to realize that we have two options here. We can either live in a constant state of anxiety as we fearfully attempt to control every contingency, or we can simply walk in the strength of our sovereign Savior as we fully trust in his ability to protect and provide for my family. Christian, listen, I truly believe that the Lord is allowing us to experience this time of pandemic so that we might stop panicking and so that we might start trusting in him. I believe that he's calling us to return to a life of trustful devotion, Think about it for a moment. Our economy here in America was booming unlike ever before. Our military, stronger than ever. It sort of seemed like nothing could touch us. Well, nothing but a little virus. We're facing an enemy right now that is destroying our economy. We're facing an enemy that our military cannot stop. If you've been trusting in the strong economy of America, if you've been trusting in the strengthened military, I'm here to tell you that those who trust in horses are trusting in the wrong thing. Those who trust in finances are trusting in the wrong thing. The Lord has allowed this pandemic to help us here in America to realize that a strong economy and a strong military means nothing if a little virus can come in and wipe us out like this. It's time to realize that the Lord is the only one we can trust in. And therefore, let's become believers who are trustfully devoting our life to Him. Jesus alone is able to give us the victory over this world. Therefore, to Him belongs our trustful devotion. I like the way that John put it in 1 John chapter 5. It's there where he declares, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Christian, listen, if you want to walk in victory, then walk by faith in the victorious one. The Lord Jesus is the victorious one. He is the one who secured our victory on the day when he died for our sins. It was there on the cross where he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes now we are healed. Therefore, rather than living in the fear of defeat, let's walk in the victory that our Savior secured for us there on the cross. As we begin to wrap up this message, please trust me when I tell you that the Lord Jesus wants to give us the victory. Today and forevermore, He has victory for us. And I'm here to tell you that we can gain the victory over anxiety by just applying these three simple steps. We gain the victory over anxiety through thankful supplication. And so rather than wasting our time worrying about every little thing, let's spend our time praying with thankful supplication. We also gain the victory over anxiety through thoughtful meditation. And so rather than wasting our time focusing on all of our fearful fantasies, let's meditate on the Messiah so that we can experience the peace of God today. Finally, I'll remind you that we gain the victory over anxiety through trustful devotion. And so rather than wasting our time attempting to control everything around us with a heart filled with covetousness, let's instead trust in the one who has promised that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And as we walk by faith with Jesus, we can rejoice today in knowing that he will give us the victory over everything, including our anxiety.